Invite you to join me as we turn together to the scripture again this morning. We turn this morning to Matthew chapter 21, and we'll read verses 33 through 46. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version this morning. If it helps you to follow along, of course, I would invite you to turn with me there now, or if you find that following along distracts you, we'd invite you to just hear the word of the Lord this morning. From Matthew 21, starting at verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, built a watchtower, then he leased it to the tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time came, he sent his slaves to the vineyard, to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized the slaves and beat one, killed another, and then stoned another. Again, he sent out other slaves, more than the first. And they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And they said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parable, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious, holy, and eternal God, we come to you again this morning. We have gathered because we are anxious to hear a word from you. And we pray, dear Lord, that once again, we pray, Holy Spirit, that one more time, you would pour yourself out on us. That again, you would take the words of the scripture which we share, the humble words which I will offer, and the thoughts of every single one of our hearts, and inspire them, breathe life into them, so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. As we look at the scripture this morning, there's a question that comes out to us. A question about what does it mean to bear the fruits of the kingdom? Now, we are still in this part of the Gospel of Matthew that falls between that comes in the middle of what we call Holy Week. Right? Jesus is in the temple between Sunday and Thursday evening of Holy Week. Right? He's there between the time when he's been lifted up as the King of Kings, the Messiah, the blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and crucify him, crucify him. This is where Jesus is when he is having this conversation. Now, this is still his conversation in the temple with the chief priests and the elders of the people. And that's really important for us to remember as we think about this text, that who is Jesus really talking with? He's still in the middle of that conversation, and now Jesus tells the chief priests and the elders a second parable about vineyard workers and authority. Now, the setup is simple. The setup is easy, right? Jesus says, there's a vineyard owner, and he plants a vineyard, he puts a fence around it, he digs the wine press, he puts the tower, right? He does everything. He does everything that's necessary for the vineyard and the tenants to be successful. Right? This isn't, I'm going to lease you a store, but I'm not putting any shelves in it. Right? This is not, I'm going to invite you to work and run a factory, but there won't be any line equipment in it. This isn't, I'm inviting you to go and build a house, but there won't be any materials. Right? This is not an unfunded mandate. The landowner provides everything that the vineyard and the tenants need to be successful. And then he puts it in their hands and he goes away. He gives them everything that they need. Trusts it to them, and lets them have at it. And then, when it comes time for the harvest to be ready, when the grapes are ready to be picked, he sends back servants. He sends back slaves. That word in Greek is exactly the same. He sends them back to get his share of the produce. Now, up to this point in Jesus' parable, everything goes just exactly the way you would expect it would. You would expect a reasonable landlord would provide everything that's needed. You would expect that reasonable tenants would be ready to give their share of the harvest when it was time. And you would expect the landlord to send somebody to go pick that up. Nothing about this is unusual in any way. Until now, the thing about this story that Jesus tells us is that he gives us no hints about what the motive of the tenants is. He doesn't say anything about why the tenants make this choice. Right? He doesn't say that they're doing it because it was a terrible crop, and if they give their portion away, if they pay their side of the rent, they won't have anything left. It doesn't say that they decided that they needed to make a political statement, and so they were going to make this choice. It doesn't say, well, they just needed a better ROI on their labor investment. They just needed to get a better return. So if they triple the cost of the drug, then they'll make their earnings target and get the big bonus. Right? They didn't say any of that. Jesus says nothing about why they did this. Maybe they had a terrible reason. Maybe they had a reason that we would recognize in the world that we're part of in this moment. Jesus says absolutely nothing about why they do this. What he tells us is what they chose to do. Just says that when the slaves came, they grabbed one, they beat another one, they killed, they grabbed and beat one, they killed one, and they stoned another one. So then the landowner sends more and sends a bigger group. And they do the same thing again. And as a last-ditch effort to restore the relationship with the tenants, the landowner sends his son. Well, right, there's got to be one more way that we can get this relationship back on track. There's got to be some way. Well, there's one more shot that we can get this relationship put back together. And so I'll send my son. Now, you and I cannot hear this without remembering what Jesus is staring down the barrel of. That he is in Jerusalem and that the cross is breathing down his neck. Since he encountered the Canaanite woman in the region of Sidon and Tyre, Jesus has been heading back to Jerusalem, telling his disciples that this was going to happen. And now he's in Jerusalem, he's in the temple, and this is the parable that he tells. There's one last ditch thing that I can do to restore this relationship, to salvage the wreckage of what's happened. There's one more thing. I'll send my son. Who is beaten, taken outside the walls, and killed. And then Jesus asks, so what do you think the landowner's going to do when he comes back? And the chief priests and the elders respond with the kind of answer that I would probably respond with. They're going to drop a rock on his head. They're going to throw the book at him. He's going to take him, and they're going to pay for what they did. That's their answer. Then Jesus quotes Psalm 118. A psalm that talks about how God has been and will continue to be faithful to the children of Israel. And says that the kingdom will be taken away from you and given to those who bear fruits of the kingdom. All this while the cross is breathing down his neck. How will the landowner respond when he comes back? And on the third day, Jesus was raised from the dead. And he called together his disciples. And he said to them, "All authority has been given to me. Now go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have taught you. And lo, I will be with you to the end of the age." Because here's the thing that Jesus taught us about bearing fruit in the kingdom. Is that if we're in the kingdom, we bear fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, we weren't part of the kingdom. If we're part of the kingdom, we're bearing fruit. And if we're not bearing fruit, then we weren't part of the kingdom. We'll talk more about what that kingdom or what bearing fruit looks like when in part two, shameless plug for the podcast. But here's the thing that we need to remember, is that God sent his Son to die for us, to be raised to new life for us, because what God wanted more than anything was for us to be reconciled. Romans tells us when we were yet sinners, when we were still astray, Christ died for the ungodly. So what will the landowner do when he comes back? Gather up any of those who want to be part of the kingdom. And I believe, sadly shake his head and say, if you insist, you don't have to be a part. God does absolutely everything that we need so that we can be part of the kingdom. And so I invite you to receive that good news, to let it continue to change who you are, that you and I, all of us, individually and especially together, would bear fruit of the kingdom. Grace to you and peace. Amen.